Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4. It is the Blitz here on AM 1450 KATE. Mitch Widmeyer here with you. We go to the phone lines he hops on every Friday. We're always thankful and appreciative for his time. John Folkey, executive producer and studio host for the Minnesota Timberwolves, hopping on today. John, as always, thank you for the time. The Wolves are a fourth of the way through the season. They sit at 13-9. Had you told me that would be their mark 22 games in, I would have signed up for it, knowing how brutal the Western Conference is. But it's some of the duds against Eastern Conference teams that make that 13-9 mark just a bit odd, doesn't it?
You know, it's interesting, though. If you look, right now, the East has a better record against the West than we thought. I mean, they're so far in terms of wins and losses, the East is a better conference, which, you know, at the beginning of the season, you would have thought, man, the West is going to absolutely trounce the East this year. But, you know, so far that hasn't been the case. And obviously, what Boston did with this 16-game winning streak and the surprising start by the Detroit Pistons, and now, you know, you've got Cleveland kind of hitting their stride with 9 straight wins. So, you know, there have been some tough losses to Eastern Conference teams, but I think the East is showing that it's a lot better than we thought it was going to be heading into the season.
Do you think it still plays out that way when we talk about this a month or two down the road? Is the West maybe just top-heavy with San Antonio, Houston, Golden State? I think maybe you can lump Minnesota in there. Is the West maybe just top-heavy, and then the bottom portion 7-8 or maybe just 8, and then those teams on the outside looking in are maybe worse than 6-7-8 in the Eastern Conference?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think it'll be interesting to watch how it all unfolds, because as you look at, you know, the bottom part of the Western Conference, I mean, you expect Oklahoma City to be better than they have been so far. I mean, 8-12 on the season. You know, Utah is a team that maybe it's playing well. Once they get Gobert back, maybe they take another step. New Orleans, we've seen twice now, and you just got to imagine that at some point that talent will, you know, take the next step once everybody gets healthy. Denver's an interesting team. Portland's an interesting team. So I do think there is some depth in the Western Conference, probably 1-9. But the LA Clippers, the injury situations, everything they're dealing with, you know, at the beginning of the season, I thought they were going to be a fringe playoff team. They don't look like a playoff team. Certainly the Lakers aren't. Suns, Kings, and Mavericks aren't. And now the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that, you know, again, I thought would be a fringe playoff team. The coaching change, the fact that they've dropped 9 in a row, you know, they don't look like a playoff team either. Meanwhile, in the East, you've probably got 10 teams deep right now, you know, whether or not the Knicks and the Pacers and the Sixers can continue to play, you know, maybe above what we expected at the beginning of the season. But it seems like, anyway, through the first quarter of the season, that there's good depth and balance in both conferences, and it certainly made things very interesting when we thought it was going to be so one-sided going into this season.
John Folkey, executive producer and studio host for the Wolves, with us this afternoon here on the Blitz. The Wolves just played in New Orleans the other night. Before that, they finished up a 4-game homestand with a 2-2 record. I was thinking and hoping for 3-1 just based off who they were playing, and I know they didn't have Jeff Teague or Belly, but losing at home to the John Wallace Wizards earlier on in the week, that had to leave a bit of a salty taste in their mouths, right? And it was kind of one of those, I don't know, neither team had a ton of turnovers, but it was just, I think Tom Thibodeau said after the game it was a grimy game. That's how he described it. It was 92-89, and to lose to the Wizards at home without John Wall, that had to leave kind of a sour taste in their mouth.
Yeah, I don't think guys were happy about that. I mean, especially the way they lost, you know, twice building double-digit leads. They had a 13-point lead in the second half. They took a lead into the fourth quarter, and, you know, and their offense in the fourth quarter just ground to a halt. I don't know if guys were tired or, you know, they were trying to milk the clock or whatever, but it seemed like every time they were getting into the front court, just at the 16-second mark on the shot clock, you know, just scooting across the half-court line in time. And then it was just felt like a lot of kind of pick-and-roll, one-on-one, you know, ball movement around the perimeter, but not really attacking towards the basket. And when they did, they found themselves in a crowd and turnovers and long rebounds that allowed Washington to get out and run. And, you know, the Wizards closed that game on a 13-4 run. And I think the way that game ended certainly left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, because, you know, that was a game that you put yourself in a position to win and then didn't execute in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it was another game where Minnesota struggled in the fourth quarter. And they struggled in the fourth quarter in their win over Orlando. They struggled all game against Miami during that homestand. And so I think guys were frustrated. But I also think that made the win over New Orleans that much sweeter. Second end of a back-to-back, you know, playing a relatively healthy New Orleans team and, you know, getting Anthony Davis ejected and then finding a way on the second end of a back-to-back on the road to beat a New Orleans team that, you know, it had Minnesota's number for many years. I think going into that game, the Pelicans had won 10 of the last 13, and the Wolves, despite, again, being without Teague and Belly, were able to get things done on the road and, you know, pick up a big win there.
Yeah, they followed up with that 18-point win in New Orleans. Some believe in the notion of, like, scheduled losses, John, in playing the second night of a back-to-back, going from Minnesota to New Orleans. They didn't have Teague. They didn't have Belly. Some would think that would qualify such game, going back-to-back from Minnesota down to Louisiana and playing the Pelicans. But the Wolves come out on top by 18. Once Anthony Davis was tossed, you mentioned his ejection in the second quarter. Did it appear to you that the Wolves sort of, it just seemed like they smelled blood and then they just took advantage of it?
Absolutely. And, you know, to your point about a schedule loss, New Orleans had been off since Saturday at home, you know, sitting around while the Wolves played Sunday, Tuesday, and then traveled, you know, to face New Orleans. And so, as Alan Horton mentioned, you know, ESPN has these red alert games in which a team has a certain rest advantage over the other team, and that was considered a red alert game, and yet Minnesota overcame those odds and picked up the win. I think, you know, when Davis got ejected, Tyus Jones brought this up on the postgame, and, you know, we've seen it play out, and Mitch, certainly you've seen it play out in your broadcasting career that, you know, a coach gets a technical or something, and all of a sudden that team, you know, really gets going. And sometimes they get a technical to fire up their team, or, you know, Davis gets ejected in the group. You expected them to come together and really get after Minnesota, but the Wolves put together a 12-0 run, and they outscored New Orleans 16-6 after that ejection to close out the first half and give themselves a pretty comfortable lead at the halftime break, and then they just kept going at them in the second half. You know, they went up by as many as 20 a couple different times, and, you know, they went at DeMarcus Cousins. They did a good job defending out on the perimeter. I think Darius, I'm forgetting his name, but guy came off the bench and, you know, knocked down a couple threes to make it interesting. They got to within 10 in the fourth quarter, but then Wolves closed the door, and I thought great contributions from Tyus Jones, who was a team-high plus 20 in 41 minutes of action on the second end of a back-to-back. I mean, how about Tyus just rewriting his career minutes played every single night since Jeff Teague has been down? So, you know, I thought it was a great team win, and, you know, you expected New Orleans to rise to the occasion after Davis got tossed, and it was the opposite. Minnesota did.
Always love having him on the show. He's the executive producer and studio host for the Minnesota Timberwolves. John Fokey with us this afternoon here on AM 1450 KATE. I was just going to bring it up because we mentioned the absence of Jeff Teague the last few games, and I was going to ask you, John, not just the game against New Orleans where he was spectacular, but in these last few contests, how good has Tyus Jones looked filling in? He hasn't had lower than 6 assists the last 4 games, and he's logging a ton of minutes, yet he's looking very comfortable doing so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can't be surprised by anything Tyus does anymore. You know, no matter what the level of competition, no matter what the situation, just finds a way to step up and get things done for Minnesota. And over his last 4 games, he has now totaled 16 steals in 4 games. And you mentioned the assist numbers. You know, he's at 26 assists in those 4 games as well. And it's just funny to watch his minutes. 33, 39, 40, 42, and that's with Jeff Teague out. And, you know, his plus minus, I know he led the lead, or led the team against Washington, or excuse me, against Phoenix with a plus 22. I don't remember what it was against Washington, but against New Orleans, he was a plus 20. And so, you know, Tyus just makes winning plays, whether it's on the offensive end, scoring the basketball, you know, timely threes, setting guys up, whether it's on the defensive end with the steals, being in the right position. I mean, he had 2 blocks against Phoenix, and this is Tyus Jones, barely 6 feet tall. So he just, I mean, he finds a way to get it done no matter what the situation. You know, you keep waiting for the level of competition to catch up to Tyus, but he's got that great basketball IQ, and he always seems a step ahead and in the right position. And it's just been super fun to watch a guy that, you know, we know has worked so hard on his game each and every day of practice, shoot around in the off season, and to get an opportunity in expanded minutes and to come up as big as he has.
And it certainly, it's not going unnoticed within that locker room. I believe it was, and you may remember, it was after the Phoenix game, I think, where Jimmy Butler was at his locker talking to reporters, and it didn't matter what question he was being asked. All he would do was talk about Tyus Jones. Tom Thibodeau has raved about him in his post-game pressers. Whenever Jeff Teague does get back, is it possible that Tyus has carved out some sort of a larger role?
Well, I think Tyus is your backup point guard, and I think that's a great spot for him. You know, he can run that second unit. He can look for his offense a little bit more there. And I think, you know, he's certainly earned more minutes. And Jimmy said after that New Orleans game that, you know, if he keeps playing like this, it's going to be hard to take him off the floor. I do think that, you know, Jeff Teague is your starting point guard, and I think, you know, Tyus understands that. But, you know, if given the opportunity, Tyus wants to win games, and so he's going to go out there and play to win games and do the right things in the minutes that he has. But, you know, certainly he's making a case for himself that he belongs on the floor in certain situations, and that if he needs to step in as the point guard, as the starting point guard, that's a role he can play. If he needs to go off the bench, that's a role he can play and excel at as well. And it kind of speaks to, you know, what Tibbs talks about all the time. And, you know, Mitch, we hear Tibbs rave about Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson. I mean, constantly. Like, if given the opportunity, he's going to single those guys out and talk about some of the things that make them leaders and that make them winners, because he's got so much experience, you know, with the growth of their careers during his time in Chicago. And especially Taj, he always says, hey, whether Taj is starting, whether he's coming off the bench, he accepts his role, he excels at it, and he does everything he can to make this team win. And then he always says, you know, in Chicago, even when he wasn't starting, we closed games with him. And I think that's what you're seeing out of Tyus, that he's one of those Tibbs type guys, always prepared, no matter what the situation. He's all about team and making winning plays and doing what he can to help the team win. And so, you know, whether you close games with him, whether you start games with him, whether he's coming off the bench, he'll be ready, prepared, and make the right play and do the right thing for the team.
John Folkey, executive producer, studio host for the Wolves, kind enough to take time out of his day to hop on. We'll finish up with a couple of points. So Tyus has been spectacular, and I think everyone can objectively look at it from that angle. The not-so-good in all of this is you obviously want Jeff Teague, and you want Nemanja Bjelica out there, and with Tyus starting and playing in the spot of Jeff Teague, Belly being out the last couple of games, it really thins out the bench production. Is there any sort of timetable for Teague? I think Belly was listed as day-to-day. Is there any inkling, as Tom Thibodeau said, anything about when those two could return?
No, I mean, they're both day-to-day. And, you know, Teague was warming up before the game in New Orleans, but just couldn't give it a go. I know Belly was targeting targeting Oklahoma City tonight. That's what he said, down in New Orleans on Wednesday, but because it was a back-to-back, the team didn't practice. They traveled yesterday from New Orleans to Oklahoma City, so they'll get a shoot-around in today, and hopefully we'll have more clarity. But, I mean, you know how coaches are, especially Tibbs. What we're going to get is they went through some stuff in shoot-around. They're getting close. We'll let them warm up before the game. We'll talk to Greg, and, you know, there'll be game-time decision, and that's what we've gotten each and every day for the last week, and I imagine that's what we're going to get again today.
All right, I'll lob this one your direction. Then you mentioned the Thunder. The Wolves are back at it tonight in Oklahoma City. Minnesota 2-0 against the Thunder this year. Wins have been by a combined 5 points. What will be the keys tonight for Tom Thibodeau's club?
You know, this is interesting because the Thunder, I expected them to be a much better offensive team than they've turned out to be so far. They've got so much offensive firepower in Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony, and yet they've struggled on the offensive end. Defensively, they've been much better than I anticipated. But, you know, they've got length, and they've got, obviously, athleticism in Westbrook, Roberson, Paul George. Those guys can really use their length, and Steven Adams as well, banging down there in the physical play that he plays with. So I think for Minnesota, it's all about execution. It's knowing that the Thunder want to get you into kind of a grimy game, like the Washington game, where, you know, they want to rely on their defense. They're great at getting in the passing lanes. They lead the league in deflection. So, you know, offensively, you've got to be incredibly efficient in terms of taking care of the basketball, making sure that you limit the live ball turnovers. And then defensively, don't allow those guys to find their rhythm. Don't allow the Thunder to, you know, get healthy on this game. You know, we've seen that before where a team's struggling and they come in, and all of a sudden, Indiana, Detroit, think back to that back-to-back, you give them a little confidence early on, and those guys just, they couldn't miss the rest of the way. So with a team that's struggling offensively like the Thunder are, don't give them any sense of confidence. And then, a big part of that is taking care of the basketball and not giving them fast break opportunities for dunks and so on to get the crowd into it. So it'll be interesting because these two teams have been so closely matched, not just this season, but over the last couple of years. They've had some really good games that come right down to the wire, and it's always fun to see them match up. And, you know, Minnesota looking to go to 5-0 against the Northwest Division. It's been a long time since Minnesota's won five straight games against division foes, but they've started off a perfect 4-0 so far this season, and tonight they'll try to make it 5-0.
Tip time tonight is at 7 p.m. Our next Wolves broadcast will be Monday. They'll be in Memphis. That, too, is a 7 p.m. tip. It'll be a 6:30 pregame. John, as always, thank you for the time.
You bet. Take care, Mitch.
We'll put a bow on the show with Friday's spread. We've got championship Saturday. Tomorrow we'll give you lines, over-under picks for Oklahoma, TCU, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Auburn, Georgia, and much more next.